Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us with Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Our special guest today is Dr. Ted Vaughn with Piedmont Plastic Surgery. Here's your host, live from Sharp Passes Gallery, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are over here at Sharp Passes Gallery. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, I have Dr. Ted Vaughn. A little update, though. The price of gold right now, $1,888. Is it going to go back up to $1,895? I don't know. I tell you what, I don't have that crystal ball, but I can tell you, gold is up today. Might be a good day to sell. Silver is the big mover here, though, today, $43.67 right now on silver. So if you have silver jewelry, coins, bars, any of these items, come see us today. If you have gold, if you have diamonds, if you have rings, bring them all in. We're paying the most around right here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass. So we have Dr. Ted Vaughn from Piedmont Plastic Surgery. He is here with us today. Always one of my favorite guests to have on because people love to call in and ask questions because they can be relatively anonymous right here on the show. We're going to be talking about some of the new things that people are doing, some of those less expensive things to try to hold everything together. So how are you doing today, Dr. Ted Vaughn?
I am doing well, Ann.
Okay.
I'm trying to sell you my watch, but...
is it solid gold?
It is solid gold.
It is solid gold. All right. Well, gosh, things have changed a little bit. People were doing a lot of the whole facelifts and this type of thing, but all across all economic strata, people have had to cut back a little bit. So there are new things that people are doing to try to maintain. Instead of maybe going under the scalpel so much, people are doing fillers and that type of thing?
I think people are looking at more cost-effective ways to maintain their looks. Certainly, we're still doing a lot of faceless, browless, eyelid surgery, et cetera. But
how about breast augmentation?
That will never die.
Thank God for the breast, right?
That's right. Some are too big, some are too small. We can fix both problems.
Absolutely. So whatever side of the fence you're on, we can make them just right.
That's true.
So what type of things are people doing? We see advertised on TV. A while back, we used to see a lot about, Juvederm, give the parentheses marks.
Yes. Fillers have become certainly more popular. There are a lot of different types of fillers out there, Juvederm, Restylane, Radiesse, Sculptra, your own fat. And we're using a lot of those to maintain people's looks, trying to still look good without necessarily having a facelift.
Now, one of the things is, I guess as you age, things start to, you don't have that more rounded look, do you, in your face? It seems to kind of fade away a little bit, doesn't it?
Things head south, yes.
Yes. So the fillers can actually plump things back up?
They do. We're trying to fill lines, fill creases. Again, it's not doing what a facelift can do, but it does maintain.
How often do you have to do a procedure like this? I think that's
fillers,
a question.
Fillers last different lengths of time, like Juvederm, say, lasts a year to 14 to 16 months. Radiesse, maybe 18 months. Sculptra, maybe 2 to 3 years. Your own fat, maybe forever. So there are varying periods of time that they last, longevity-wise.
Longevity. So just out of curiosity, why would you use a shorter term over a longer term one?
Cost?
Mm-hmm.
The less the longevity, the less the cost.
The less, okay. All right. So now when we talk about fillers and everything, do they, you say they last. What about Botox, though? Botox, is that still as popular as it was?
Oh, yes. We do a ton of Botox. But Botox works in a different way. Botox is basically paralyzing the muscle that creates the wrinkle, whereas a filler is trying to fill the wrinkle with it. Make sense?
Is one preferable over the other? I think I'd rather have filler than paralyzation, but what do I know? I'm not the doctor here.
Generally we use Botox in one of three places. Forehead, those little lines between your eyebrows and your crow's feet. That's the area that I put in 99% of my Botox. It would be difficult to treat some of those wrinkles with fillers alone. Say, crow's feet, they're very superficial. There's generally several of them. Botox is a better way of treating those wrinkles than, say, a filler.
Now, what about, let's talk a little bit about Botox. You know, you read in the news about things that happen to, you know, the bad side of it, where something doesn't get the way it's supposed to be. It is paralyzed. We've heard stories about that. Is that something to be concerned about?
Well, you have to, you know, be concerned with who's putting in your Botox, too.
Right.
You know, several years ago, there was an incident in Florida where I think it was a dentist was putting in industrial-strength Botox and happened to knock off a couple of his neighbors, which is always a bad thing.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's real bad.
So you have to look at the experience of the person who's putting in the Botox. Certainly used as it's medically indicated, Botox is a very, very safe treatment.
And yet Botox was not originally for this?
No. Actually, Botox was something you used to find in your soup can that killed you.
Botulism? And now it paralyzes muscles. Wow. Okay, but it was used for something else first. Was it something with the heart or something, was it? No? Am I wrong? No?
Not that I know of. You know, Botox started being used, and some of the first people to use Botox were dermatologists in Canada.
Okay.
Sort of utilized it in very, very small doses like we utilize it now.
Well, okay. All right. So when you've heard about some of these Botox parties that people have had in their homes and brought in a doctor for this, that's not really a good thing, is it?
Well, generally, this is not something I would do because, you know, this is the practice of medicine, and you don't practice medicine in someone's living room as a general rule.
Right. But there have been cases I've heard of it.
I guess some people's way to market their product is simply not mine.
Yes. Well, you are having, just to talk about, coming up on Thursday, you are having a, what is it you're having? You're having an open house.
An open house in our skincare clinic, that's true. My lovely bride, Lynn, will be having an open house and sort of demonstrating Visio, which is a pretty neat computer analysis of your skin. She'll be doing some microdermabrasion and some skincare treatments, glycolic acid treatments. So sort of giving an overview of what we do in the skincare clinic.
And this is this all day on Thursday or going on most of the day?
Going on most of the day.
That people could call and get more information about it?
Right. Unfortunately, I'm operating all day Thursday, so I'm not.
You're not going to be there?
That's right. I will not be there, but the office staff certainly knows. But I think it's maybe like 10 to 4 or something like that.
10 to 4.
Yeah.
And the telephone number to call over there is?
223-0505.
That's 223-0505. If you'd like to know how to take care of your skin, actually one of the biggest organs, it is the biggest organ of our body, isn't it?
The largest organ that you have, yes.
Is that why you chose skincare as your specialty here, skin?
More of it to take care of.
More of it to take care of, less of it to be just pigeonhole yourself.
That's right. Why be a neurosurgeon? You're just dealing with the brain.
That's right. Why not deal with every possibility? Of course, you are also a hand surgeon.
That's
specialist.
True.
Yes. So
I specialized in hand surgery. Did a fellowship in hand surgery as well.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Dr. Ted Vaughn. We're going to be talking more about these fillers, more about things that you can do. I want to talk about these lifestyle lifts. Let me tell you, I see it on TV. An hour later, bam, you're restored. People don't even know who you are. Is it work or is it fantasy? Hey, I'm Ann Eller. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't you go away.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
You're with us at Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Ellen. Our special guest today is Dr. Ted Vaughn with the Piedmont Plastic Surgery. Here's your host, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We're having a good time over here. We're talking to Dr. Ted Vaughn, a plastic surgeon for Piedmont Plastic Surgery. We are going to be talking about a lot of good things. A couple of questions have come in, though, Ted, is about financing. Can you finance your good looks? That
you
is
can.
The question.
It's done through a company called Care Credit. which we utilize in our office, and pretty much they do probably the financing for 95% of the plastic surgery offices in the United States. Very reputable company.
Very reputable company. Now, I know in jewelry, when we used to be able to finance jewelry, right now we can't. The economy just is not allowing us to get that type of financing. But if somebody didn't pay for the jewelry, they would take the jewelry back. I need to know, what do you do if somebody doesn't pay for plastic surgery?
It certainly becomes more difficult, okay? But say we could take back one of their implants.
And when you pay the bill, we'll put the other one back, okay? All right, well, there you go. You don't want to not pay the plastic surgery bill, but yes, they do have credit financing on that. So give them a call today, 223-0505. That's 223-0505. So one of the things that, everybody has so many questions, and one of the things that I was reading here is that you say that now they're starting to use your own fat for your boobs. Or breast augment, excuse me, let's be proper here, breast augmentation.
Yes, that is correct. As we were talking a couple of minutes ago, years ago that was considered taboo. You did not take fat from another part of your body and put it into your breast because they were worried about being able to diagnose breast cancer with mammograms.
Mm-hmm.
And about 5 or 6 years ago, a group of plastic surgeons started doing research on this with routine follow-up mammograms, and they found that they were able to easily differentiate a cancerous mass in the breast from, say, the fat graft. So over the past couple of years, we've been doing a lot of research into fat grafting in the breast, and I think it's going to be a promising alternative sometime over the next 2 to 3 years.
So is it something you're doing now? Or
yeah, I'm involved with a friend of mine in Pennsylvania who's part of the IRB study. IRB is the FDA guidelines, which whenever you're doing something new, they make you do research on it. It's called an IRB study. So he and I are beginning to become involved in this.
So you can you do it or you cannot?
We can. It is sort of in its early stages. One of the problems with autologous fat grafting of the breast is that you're limited with volumes right now. So you can only do about 200, 250 cc's of volume, and that would be a pretty small breast augmentation. So that's one of the problems that we're having to deal with, is that it looks like it's going to be a sequential process as opposed to just a breast augmentation where you come in and have it done and you're done. Autologous fat grafting of the breast is maybe more of a sequential process where you have to have several procedures. That's one of the limitations of it.
So it's a growing procedure.
Yes, so to speak.
Growing procedure. So if, it wouldn't be like today you don't have any and tomorrow you
tomorrow
do.
Tomorrow you have a double D.
Right,
no.
Exactly. Okay. All right. But are you still doing lots of breast augmentation?
Surely.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's a procedure that will always be part of plastic surgery because of the demand for it.
So, okay. So, but someday you may actually be able to take the fat off the thigh and put the fat in the boob. Hey, how about that? Now, one of the things, though, it's not contained in a
prosthesis or anything like that. No, it's actually a living graft that you take from one part of your body and put it in another.
Okay. So does that mean that the fat could move around? Could the fat leave the breast and go someplace else?
Well, see, that one of the problems with autologous fat grafting has always been reabsorption of the fat because it's not a 100% take. In other words, if I take 10 cc's of fat and put it in the breast, not all 10 cc's of that fat will survive. And that's always been one of the problems with autologous fat grafting. What we're trying to do now is maximize that take. But yes, you will lose some of the graft. And it's simply reabsorbed by your body. It doesn't go, elsewhere.
Now, speaking of that, what about reabsorption of, like, on the Juvederm and some of these others that you're talking
about?
Your
body just breaks it down. And it sort of disappears over time, essentially. Just like, sort of like a autologous fat graft. Your body, the macrophages in your body, break it down and basically disperse it.
Well, do you have to worry about it? I'm going to ask. Like, could it be cancerous? Could it? I mean, help start a cancer or something like that?
No, Juvederm.
Or any of these ones that they're using?
These are all, like, made of hyaluronic acid, which is a normal component of your body. Sculptor's polylactic acid, another normal component of your body. They've just synthesized these, and they're injecting them into your body, okay, or we're injecting them into your body, and they're just broken down over time. So, no, it's not a foreign substance that's foreign to your body, if that makes sense.
Okay. Are there some that are better than others as far as, I think I was reading something recently about aging, and some look more natural over time than others?
Some of the fillers?
Fillers, yeah.
No, I think that's more of a function of the skill of the person putting it in you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So you don't have to worry about that if you come see Dr. Ted Vaughn. I mean, you know, he does excellent work. I've seen a lot of your work around town and beyond, and people always seem pretty satisfied, Ted.
Oh, thank you very much.
So did just get some information. The open house is from 10 to 7 this Thursday.
So my wife is listening.
Yes, I guess so. Hey, how you doing, Lynn? So we're talking about some of the things that are happening at Piedmont Plastic Surgery. Not only can you do plastic surgery, you can do fillers, but also they have added a great skincare office part of what you're doing.
Actually, the skincare clinic has been there for years.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to showcase it a little bit. Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's become a bigger part of what y'all are doing. And Lynn is excellent. And, you know, as you always call her, your bride.
Yes.
Yes.
Princess bride.
The princess bride, okay. And she maintains that youthful glow. So she must be doing something right over there. Or you are. I don't know which. Well, what else are we going to talk about here today? We've talked a little bit about fillers. We've talked about there's different prices. Now, what kind of price range when you're talking about fillers? I know each case is different, but how do you go about deciding how much it'll cost for a filler? And what is a price range if people are listening and going, I have no idea how much this costs?
Basically, fillers are priced per syringe because it comes pre-filled in a syringe. So, like, the cost of a syringe of Juvederm is probably $475, okay?
And how much would a syringe do? If we were talking about lines, parentheses marks on the side of your face.
Again, the more superficial, the
younger
grief,
you want to
right,
look.
the less amount you have used. But by far, the average patient uses one syringe. I mean, it's rare that I use two syringes.
On both sides?
Of any filler.
Yes. Of any filler?
Yeah.
So you could say starting somewhere around $500?
And Radius is maybe $625 or $650. Again, it's more in a syringe, so it's a larger syringe, okay, and a longer acting or longer lasting filler.
So that's how much it costs. Now, is there an additional cost for your expertise,
is that included in it? Yeah, that's
okay.
It.
So somebody could come see you for $500-$600 as long as it was one syringe.
Yeah, I mean, like a syringe of Juvederm was $475. Yeah, that's it.
So, that's not so bad.
No,
see, that's something
bargain,
we need to
a
know.
A bargain now.
Okay, there'll be no wrinkles in Greenwood. All right. So, and what about Botox? What kind of price is Botox when you look at taking, let's say, the right in between your eyebrows there, the furrow that people get?
Again, I use 20 units per syringe of Botox. Some people price it per unit, but I find you generally need a minimum of about 20 units to adequately treat any certain area, okay? And I think a syringe of Botox is maybe $250, but if you get more than one area, then it's, you know, decreased in price. We sort of...
Now, when you go back after you've had it done initially, does it less because, or do you have to reparalyze that area again?
No, generally when I'm using Botox, the first time someone comes to see me, I will tell them this injection is probably going to last about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? At 3 months, get re-injected if you like the result, because then it will last between 5 and 6 months. So my average patient probably gets an injection every 5 to 6 months.
Well, after the first.
Yeah, some people last a little bit less, some people last a little bit more, but on average it's probably between 5 and 6 months.
Well, okay. Well, listen, it sounds like we should be doing some business here. Let me go ahead and sign up for a few things right now, Ted.
We're just going to clear off the table right now.
That's right. Did you bring those fringes? We'll be doing a live performance right here on the radio. Yes, that's true. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I am here with Dr. Ted Vaughn. If you have a question, if you'd like some information, how about give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We are here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are having a good time talking to Dr. Ted Vaughn. Also, price of gold is up, $1,888. Silver is at $4,367. Great day to sell. If you want to sell, bring it to us. Can't tell you what it's going to do tomorrow. I don't have that crystal ball, but I will tell you this. Every day of the week, we ship because we don't want to get stuck. How about you? Come see us here at Sharp Facets Gallery. South Carolina news is up. We'll be back after the news. Call us, 229-7984.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk radio station.
Welcome back to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Our special guest today is Dr. Ted Vaughn, live from Sharp Facets Gallery. Here's your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We all want to look better. In fact, I understand that even men are getting in on plastic surgery or fillers. Is that true now?
That is true. There's been a relative explosion of males pursuing cosmetic surgery. 25 years ago, it was relatively unheard of. Only male movie stars got plastic surgery. But now it's drifted down so that it's not unheard of anymore.
Well, don't you think that's because guys want to compete with this whole youth market? We've got to look younger. We've got to be younger. So it makes them more desirable in the workforce anyway.
To a certain extent, that's true. But I think there's an overall emphasis on looking healthy, looking good throughout all stratas of society anymore. I mean, it's not just, you know, the movie stars.
Not just the movie stars, no. But everybody tries to emulate the movie stars. How many people come in and say, I want to have Jennifer Aniston's, I don't know, chin, her nose, her eyes, whatever. How many people come in and ask that?
Fortunately, not too many.
Well, how about other movie stars?
I did years ago. I had a young man come in. He said, you know, I have sort of an idea of what I want to look like. And he goes, would you mind if I showed you a photo? I've got this photo, and it was Elvis.
Elvis. So did you make him look like Elvis?
No, I suggested he might want to find someone other than me.
You weren't the Elvis makeover man?
That's right. Go to Las Vegas. I hear they do a great Elvis in Las Vegas.
Did he want to be an Elvis impersonator?
I have no idea. I didn't delve that deep.
God, you know, Ted, can I come hang out at your office and ask questions? That could be rather interesting. Well, Dr. Ted Vaughn, right there at Piedmont Plastic Surgery, the telephone number to his office, 223-0505. That's 223-0505. And they are having an open house this Thursday from 10 to 7. That's this Thursday. It's going to be in actually the skincare part, correct?
It's in my entire office.
Right.
But it's basically the skincare clinic will have an open house.
You're not doing a free plastic surgery consult?
No. Actually, they'll do skincare evaluations.
Okay. All right. So that's
I won't be there.
So. You won't be there. All right. So Lynn decided it was better if she was in charge of this event. She's probably right. Right, Ted?
She is correct. Yes.
She is. Okay. All right. But that's going on this Thursday from 10 until 7. Now, it says they will be featuring Vizia Computer Analysis, which is $120 value, and it will be free on Thursday.
That's true.
Wow.
But you do have to call and arrange an appointment for that, because it takes about 25 minutes to do it.
Okay, so pick up the phone, give them a call, 223-0505. That's 223-0505. They are doing this from 10 until 7, so if you work and you call and you make that appointment, guess what? You probably can still get an appointment if you call right now. So that's 223-0505. Is this just for women?
No.
No?
Anybody?
Anybody can go. Okay. All right. We'll check that out. But you're going to be busy. You won't be there. You'll be doing
I will be there probably after I finish operating, around 5 or 6.
Around 5 or 6, mm-hmm. Okay. So now let's talk a little bit about these lifestyle lifts that we're seeing on TV. I mean, we see these women, they say, look, this was me before, and an hour later, look at me now. I mean, what are they doing?
Have you ever heard of Photoshop?
Yes, and I've decided I look marvelous, Dolly. Okay, no, what are they actually doing in these lifestyle lifts?
Well, it's some form of limited facelift, thread lift. Everybody describes it a little bit differently. You know, we've been doing limited ridotectomy or facelifts for a long time.
Is that called a mini facelift?
Correct, yes. It's just a preauricular incision in front of your ear as opposed to a full standard facelift, which is in front of the ear and behind the ear. Done on younger patients, the problem with some of these lifestyle, quote-unquote, lifts are longevity. They tend not to last as much as a true standard classic facelift ridotectomy.
Now, how long does a true facelift last?
I always tell people that if you have an identical twin and I do a facelift on you, you will always look younger than your twin.
That sounds like a lot of gobbledygook here now,
no,
Ted.
No, I mean, it's true. You will always look younger than your twin. You will continue to age. It's not the picture of Dorian Gray where somewhere, you know, in the attic is your aging picture.
Right.
You'll continue to age, but you will always look younger than your twin because we have removed excess skin. We've tightened up your SMAS, the little fascial layer inside your face. We've done liposuction of your neck, so you always look younger than your twin.
Now, is there an age that becomes? Do you see younger people? Are younger people doing it, or is there an age that is, let's shall we say, primo, that when people start really looking at this?
Well, certainly some of the limited ridotectomies we're doing now on people in their 40s and 50s, you know, a standard facelift is, you know, 50s to 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's by far the largest percentage of patients are in that age group.
What about Joan, Rivers, Joan Rivers? She's had a lot.
Sad tale there, Ann.
Her lips are huge. I mean, she just really seems like, you know, when she was married to a plastic surgeon, I think that's when she must have gotten addicted to it.
I did not know she was married to a plastic
surgeon. She was.
But judging on her looks right now, that's why she may be divorced from a plastic surgeon.
Yeah, she really has decided that, you know, she says she started out such an ugly duckling that I suppose she just inside wanted to make sure she was perfect. But she has gone too far, hasn't she?
Yeah, a bridge too far, yes.
A bridge too far. What, if somebody does do plastic surgery, do you ever say to them, enough is enough? Or
yes.
Do you?
I mean, that's my job, is to determine whether or not you are a candidate for my level of expertise. And sometimes I have patients that I simply cannot, you know, fulfill their desires. I may not think they're a good surgical candidate. May not think that they have realistic expectations. So that's part of my job as a board certified plastic surgeon.
So there are limits that you're going to go with somebody.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I turn down people for surgery.
If they have money?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my obligation as a physician, is to determine what is in your best interest. It's not what's in my financial best interest. It's what is in your best interest.
And what results that, you know, I would think it would be hard being in your position, Ted, because you have people, they want to get a certain look or they want to look younger. And after the surgery, you know, down the road, are they going to be saying, oh, wow, that was great? Or are they going to be saying, why did I do that?
No, I think overall, if you choose your patients correctly, the vast majority of your patients are going to be happy with their postoperative result. That's the process of choosing your patient. They have to have a realistic expectation.
Sure. You mean we can't all go back to being 20-something?
Correct.
Okay, got it. Darn! All right, well, we had a question come in. We're talking about facelifts right now. What is the recovery time for someone with a facelift? Also, do you do hair plugs?
The recovery for a facelift is generally about a week. Most people will, you know, hang around the house for about a week. And then after that, the majority of patients are back out.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's probably 3 to 4 weeks before you're completely, you know, recovered.
Before you'd want to have your portrait done.
Correct.
Okay.
You know, don't have it a week before your wedding.
He might scare off the groom.
No, I do not do hair transplants anymore.
You don't do hair transplants?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever do them?
As a resident,
okay.
We trained in them, but it's not something that I was particularly fond of. So.
Okay. All right. So recovery time would be about a week
at
home.
2 weeks, yep.
And then maybe 3-4 weeks before you'd probably want to have
right.
a picture done or something.
Yep, before you're sort of back on the social circuit.
Okay. All right. Then, Bill Markins, I have heard Botox helps with migraines.
Actually, people do use it for the treatment of migraines. I don't do it. I use Botox strictly for cosmetic purposes, but some of the neurologists do treat migraines with Botox. And paradoxically, I do have patients who I have treated with Botox for cosmetic reasons, and they state that it cured their migraines.
Wow.
So now they come back to me both for improving their wrinkles and for getting rid of their migraines.
But you're not doing it for
the
migraines.
I do not use that as the primary purpose of Botox treatments, yes.
Is there any particular place you have to put the Botox, or does it just work in general if it's in your body?
I don't know how the neurologists do it. Again, I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
The people that I have treated that have gotten improvement in their migraines, I'm usually treating their glabella, or the little area between their eyebrows.
Between their eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where you get those tension headaches
yep.
sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, we are here with Dr. Ted Vaughn from over there at Piedmont Plastic Surgery. Their number over there at the office, 223-0505. That's 223-0505. Give us a call right now. We're going to be on the air till 1 o'clock. Give us a call if you've got a question for Dr. Ted Vaughn, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Let's hear from you, and we're going to hear a word from our sponsors and be right back.
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime, from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
You are tuned in to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Ellis. Our special guest today is Dr. Ted Vaughn, Piedmont Plastic Surgery. Here's your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We're going to be here till 1 o'clock. We've got a couple of questions here. Hey, if you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. We had Jim Hudson call in. He says, you do hand surgery. Does that mean you can rebuild joints?
I no longer do joint replacements. They're Dr. John King in
mm-hmm.
Greenwood, who is another board-certified hand surgeon. He does the joint replacement surgery here in town. I am doing mostly like endoscopic carpal tunnels, limited incision carpal tunnel surgery. I do some nerve repairs, tendon repairs, but I no longer do joint replacements.
Joint replacement, okay. So I guess you don't do toes, too.
I do not do toes.
Okay. There, Jim, did you get the answer there? Okay. All right, another call came in. A gal named Jane says, what can be done for the wings under my arms? Exercise doesn't seem to be working.
That is a procedure called brachioplasty, where we make an incision on the back of your arm and remove all that skin excess.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's a procedure which we've seen much more of recently with the advent of gastric bands and gastric bypass surgery, where people are losing massive amounts of weight. We're doing a lot of body contouring to those patients, abdominoplasties, thigh lifts, torso lifts. So that's been an advent of a lot of procedures that's occasioned by massive weight loss.
Absolutely. So, and of course, as we age, sometimes people without that, but just have that those arms that are not as tight as they used to be.
True, and sometimes we'll just do liposuction of an arm in those patients, but generally with the massive weight loss patients, you need to remove some of that excess skin as well.
Now, that has to be actually becoming quite a huge part of your business because we have so many people doing gastric bypass and all the lap bands and all these things.
Yes, yes. Something, you know, you may have seen, you know, one or two brachioplasty patients a year 10 or 15 years ago, and now we see them all the time.
Sure. And, of course, on TV, you know, we see a lot of these where people have lost all this massive weight. And excess skin is, that's really a big embarrassment for people to have to deal with that.
It is. You know, they end up looking like Shar Peys, the little wrinkly dogs. And it's difficult to hide that under clothing. So we are doing a lot more body contouring surgery to those patients.
Now, just out of curiosity, does insurance pay for that?
Typically not.
Typically not?
Yes.
Wow. So that's a...
They consider it a cosmetic purpose as opposed to a medically necessary purpose.
But you can get infection and everything in that.
You can. In certain patients that have been admitted to the hospital and, you know, have chronic infections, they will consider it in that subset of people. But as a general rule, it's not considered an insurance procedure.
Now, for people that don't know about your office over there, you have operating rooms right there at Piedmont Plastic Surgery.
I do. I have a fully certified operating room within my office. It's certified by Quadruple ASF, which is the certifying body for most plastic surgeons' office. And they have very stringent rules regarding the operation of an operating room.
So quite often you're able to do a lot of the procedures. Right,
I do almost all my cosmetic procedures in my office. There are very few that I don't.
Now, but you do work at the hospital, the outpatient?
I do. I spend a lot of time at the outpatient surgery center as well, where I'm doing all my cancer reconstructions, my breast reductions, more insurance-reimbursable procedures I typically do at the outpatient surgery center.
So, now, you know, the other thing about this, though, is this is a very private thing that a lot of people are doing. They just, so that's really nice that you're able to do it right there at their office.
Correct.
At your office.
Because it's a much more private environment than, say, you know, a big hospital.
The outpatient surgery. Hey, what's going on with you next door? Yeah. It's much more private. That's true. That's true. So you can have these procedures done right there, whether it's a facelift or a liposuction. You're
correct.
Doing that right
all
there in the
office.
All of
those I do, yeah, in an office setting.
Okay. Now, what about liposuction? You know, that used to be. Is that still as popular today as it was?
Mm-hmm. We do still a lot of liposculpture, liposuction.
Liposuction. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we have talked about a lot of different things, but what are cell implants? I'm noting this. There are procedures such as cell implants, or did we write that down wrong? Laser liposuction and cell implants. I didn't know.
Well, laser liposuction is, again, sort of a marketing gimmick.
You're doing that, the laser liposuction?
I've tried it. I wasn't that impressed with the results as opposed to just traditional liposculpture or liposuction. It's more of a marketing ploy. One thigh with laser, one side with regular liposuction, I really didn't notice a difference.
You didn't notice the difference. Now, on liposuction, you know, everybody's got, whether it's a little extra fat on their tummy or on their thighs, what is the time that it takes to recover from liposuction?
Get about a week.
Yeah.
You know, you feel bruised, sore for, you know, anywhere from 3 to 7 days. Most people can go back to work at, you know, 5 to 7 days, somewhere in there.
So, it's a pretty relatively fast turnaround for doing that. And the results really are, except for the, a little bit of swelling and everything, pretty instantaneous.
You're swollen. It probably takes, you know, about 3 months for everything to settle down following the procedure. But generally, I tell you, at about, you know, 3 weeks, you see 70 to 80% of your result.
So that's a good one, too. Now, any other things that you think we should be talking about or telling people about that I've missed here? I've tried to cover a lot of things. What do you think we should talk about?
Wear sunscreen.
I was just going to talk. We have 4 minutes left. Skin cancer.
Yes. I mean, if you're in my office on any one of my patient days, there will be at least 10 people in my office with skin cancer. Simply because they haven't worn sunscreen.
And we have a lot of guys that have skin cancers.
Absolutely.
And everything because they're tough, right?
Right, because they don't wear their sunscreen. They don't wear their hats. You know, they're obviously not wearing makeup. So I would say probably 70% of my skin cancer patients are male.
Now, melanoma, that's one of the, isn't that one of the fastest growing cancers that we're seeing out there?
Yes,
for cancer?
There's a greatly increased incidence of melanoma, and some of it may simply be due to early diagnosis. Okay, we're getting better at diagnosing melanoma.
Baby boomers? Getting
yes.
older, we're seeing more people that are reaching
well,
that
stage. Well, that has spent time in the sun. You
right.
know, your grandparents used to work hard at trying to stay out of the sun. You
right.
know, your grandmother wore a hat. She wore a long-sleeve shirt. But you know, the baby boomers, sun was the thing. They wanted a deep, dark tan. So we're seeing the results of that, unfortunately.
Absolutely. So wear sunscreen. If you see something now, what would be something typical that somebody should look at and say, maybe I better get that checked?
Well, any lesion that bleeds is certainly one that should be evaluated by a physician. Any lesion that rapidly grows, particularly if it's dark colored, a black or deeply pigmented brown lesion, those are the two things that should immediately cause you to pursue an evaluation by a physician.
Absolutely. So don't wait. That's the biggest thing about skin cancer, isn't it?
Correct, yes. The longer you wait, generally the worse it is.
Absolutely. We have seen that with Jeff, haven't we? Yes, we have.
No comment.
Yes, we have. I will say it because Jeff has HIPAA. That type of cancer. I know. You can't. I can. But, yes, you have taken care of several things for Jeff, and it just it's one of those things. You just don't want to take the time because we're all busy.
Correct, yes.
So there, you can comment on that.
And males think they're invincible anyway.
Absolutely, so. And Jeff does too. Okay, we've had a couple more calls come in. We've got a couple minutes left. Janet, does this extra skin ever disappear on its own? We were talking about people that have lost massive amounts of weight.
Typically not, because what happens is you stretch the elasticity out of that skin, just like an old sock where the elastic at the top of the sock is no longer functional. The sock's going to fall down to the ground. And you can pull it up as much as you want, but there's still no elasticity in it. Same thing with your skin. Once it's lost its elasticity, then it's never going to regain that elasticity that you had when you were, say, 20 years old.
Wow. Now, what about young people, though, that are doing the bypass and everything? Would that make a difference?
Same thing. I mean, their fat has basically stretched out their skin. It's ruined the elasticity of their skin. So, same
so
thing.
It's not an age thing, really. Once you've stretched it beyond...
Correct.
It's okay. Another call we had, Joyce called in. It seems that everyone in her group have developed skin cancers. Is it expanding or is it better diagnosis?
Both.
Both.
Again, we're having a patient population that spent a lot of time in the sun. So that's one factor, and probably better diagnosis is the second.
Okay. And the thing about skin cancer is it starts on the skin, but it buries right in there, doesn't it?
Well, they can metastasize to other areas. Certainly melanomas can. They can go to liver, lungs, bone, do a lot of weird things. Fortunately, basal cells, which is the most common type of skin cancer, rarely metastasize.
Early metastasize. Okay, well, get it checked. Take care of yourself, because who knows what health care is going to be in the future, folks. We've got to be proactive here. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here on WLMA here in Greenwood, South Carolina. I have been talking to Dr. Ted Vaughn today. We'll be posting a podcast on WLMA.net. And don't forget, on Thursday, this for Thursday, August 25th, they will be having an open house. They will be featuring the new Visa computer analysis, which is 120 value. It will be free on Thursday. So pick up that phone, give them a call, 223-0505. That's 223-0505. That'll be going on from 10 until 7. Dr. Ted Vaughn, thanks for being our guest today.
Always a pleasure, Ann.
All right, good
Thank
to you. See you. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood. We'll join the news in progress.